Welcome to Through the Valley, a podcast where we explore mental health and suffering from a Christian worldview. I'm your host, Cole. Thanks for joining me. All right, welcome back to the podcast. It's February now, so I hope that your year has started off great and you're learning just more about who God is for us in Christ and learning to depend upon Him throughout your new year. But the title of this episode is, Should I Go to Counseling / Therapy? And I wanted to address this question because, one, I believe that many sincere Christians have this question. If they're dealing with depression or anxiety or even just relational problems, many people who sincerely love Jesus wonder, is it right or wrong to go to counseling? On a more practical level, many ask this question just not knowing what to expect if they were to go, because there's many different kinds of counseling, many different kinds of therapy out there. So one, what do we mean when we say counseling and therapy? And second, is it right or wrong for a Christian to go to this? But as always on this podcast, we start with scripture. So I have two scriptures for us today. The first is Isaiah 9, verse 6, and it's really a prophecy about who Jesus is and who He fulfilled the scriptures to be, because this is who He is. It says in Isaiah 9, 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." So in that scripture, we see who Jesus is, that He is a wonderful counselor, that He is our helper, He is our aid. And then later in Jesus's time on earth, He gave just His last talk to His disciples the night before His crucifixion. And He said this in John 14, 25 through 26, "These things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." So the word that Jesus uses here for the Holy Spirit being called the Helper is parakletos in the Greek, which has the connotations of being an advocate, a counselor, one who comes alongside. That's literally what the word means. And so we see in Scripture, of course, this is in the context of the Holy Spirit teaching us what is true according to Jesus and the Word. So the Holy Spirit points back to the work and words of Jesus. But we know that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, as Paul says in Romans 8. So we see here that God, in His essence, who He is Father, Son, and Spirit, is for us. We know that God is near to the brokenhearted, as it says in the Psalms. And it says in Isaiah 9 that Jesus is our wonderful counselor. And in John 14 that the Holy Spirit is our helper. So when we approach this topic of should Christians go to counseling or therapy, I believe it's rooted, one, in God is our helper. And it doesn't mean that God is subservient to us. That's not what God being our helper means. Rather, it's that He comes alongside, He comforts us, He lifts our head. He is the one who speaks what is true in our lives. And we know that right now, as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit living within us who reminds us of God's Word. So kind of different. We're not dealing directly with that question, who God is for us, but we're dealing with a more practical one. It's should we as Christians go to counseling or therapy? So I just want to break this down in a few ways. First, what do we mean when we even say that? What is counseling? What is therapy? And we're going to get into some differences between maybe some psychological therapy or psychiatry versus like a biblical counseling. So we're going to make those distinctions. And then second, we're going to look at what are the factors that make us think we should not go to counseling or therapy. And really, that's the reason why we're asking this question, is because there are some reasons maybe that it would be wrong to do it as Christians. Is that true? We're going to look at those. And then last, we're going to look at reasons we should go to counseling and maybe making a case for that off of scripture. scripture, but also seeing just some practical principles and wisdom. And I hope that this will bless you. I hope that this will kind of answer some questions that you may have. And of course, this isn't a prescription. Please never take my words as a prescription. I'm just speaking from experience, but also what we do see in scripture and even just the modern helps that God has given us through common graces such as counseling and medicine. So first, what do we mean when we say counseling or therapy? Well, most of us, when we picture that, we just picture going in to an office and sitting across from somebody, whether it's a pastor or a psychologist, and just talking to them about their problems. And this is commonly known as talk therapy. And honestly, most therapy is that. You sit and you talk through just what you're experiencing, what the problems you're having are, and you expect to receive counsel. You expect to receive advice. Well, in the midst of that, we have to kind of trace what has happened in the modern psychology movement. So it kind of goes back to Freud, who was really a talk therapist who would sit people down, this is famous story, on his couch and really talk to them about their childhood problems and how that manifests itself in adulthood. And most people, most psychologists really do not like Freud anymore. They don't like his approach. It was really subjective and trying to base everything just on childhood problems. But there is a semblance of that that has stuck around in modern times. So one common form of therapy that you'll probably, if you go to therapy now, if you go to counseling through any outside agency that's not with the church or just a mental health agency, you're probably going to go to something that's called cognitive behavioral therapy, shortly known as CBT. But basically, this is therapy, talk therapy, that is based on two things. One, the thought patterns that you have and manifest itself in daily life. So that's the cognitive part. The counselor, the therapist is going to look at, hey, what are the problem areas of your thinking? How does your thought patterns and thought cycles result in maybe anxiety or depressive tendencies and thoughts? So that's the one side of it. But they're also going to look at the behavioral side of it. So what behavioral modifications can we make that may produce less depression or less anxiety symptoms? And so this is a very symptom-based approach. It's very based on attacking really the thought patterns, but then also the behavioral modification that comes along with that. So one example of this, I'll just kind of talk through the cognitive side and the behavioral side. One, in the cognitive side, you may have a thought pattern of saying, I'm not good enough, or you may be overthinking things like, what is this person going to think when I do this or that or that? And that produces anxiety, or it produces low self-esteem or depression. So they're going to attack that. They're going to say, hey, why do you think that? What is making you believe that they're going to do this if you do this? Or what makes you believe that you are not worth this? And that's really a cognitive way of looking at things, is addressing those thought patterns and trying to bring them in line with healthy thought patterns. Now, it must be noted as we're talking through CBT that most of the times this isn't based on scripture, or it's not based on God's word. Now, there are Christian cognitive behavioral therapists that can really infuse some scriptural principles, but you just need to know that most of the times when you go to see a CBT therapist, they're not really going to be bringing scripture into the therapy session. It's going to be more about your thought patterns and behavioral modification. So an example for the behavioral modifications is that they'll probably ask you your exercise patterns, your eating patterns, and your sleep patterns. Those are very common, and we must acknowledge that those are related to our mental health and our emotional stability. So if you don't exercise at all, they'll probably start prescribing you walking on the treadmill or walking outside a few times a week. If your sleep is bad, they're going to probably ask you about your sleep environment. Hey, are there any reasons why you're not getting good sleep? Your diet, are you just eating junk food all the time, fast food? So you see how those are behavioral modifications that they're trying to get down to underlying symptoms that may be a cause of depression or anxiety. So CBT, that's kind of what we're talking about. That is a common type of therapy today. So if you were to go to a health agency, or even just through your primary care provider, this is probably what they would refer you to, is a CBT therapist. It's not the only form of therapy, but it's huge in the recent days. So when we're thinking about counseling therapy, that is one of the biggest areas that we think of when we think of counseling and therapy. Okay, so another type, and this is kind of where we get into some distinctions between cognitive behavioral therapy and what we call biblical counseling or pastoral counseling. So maybe through your church, you have a counseling ministry, or maybe through church agencies or organizations, there are counseling agencies. And so what do we mean when we talk about biblical counseling? This is likely someone who has gone to seminary to be trained in biblical counseling. And the premise is that all of our problems, whether they're emotional, physical, mental, spiritual, you name it, are based within the broader framework of the narrative of Scripture. So we have been created in God's image, and so we have inherent worth and dignity, yet sin has totally affected our bodies and our minds, and we are all living within a very fallen world. The cross brings redemption of our sins, but yet we still live in a fallen world and experience the depths of life in this fallen world. And so this explains kind of the problems that we as Christians can still face. But yet we're also looking to a future day when Jesus returns and all sin, all the effects of sin will be wiped away. We will have new bodies and the new heavens and the new earth. And so you can see here how what biblical counseling tries to do is frame your perspective on your problems and your experiences, whether that's depression, anxiety, or even just relational problems and conflict, in the broader framework of the story of the Bible. But more so, it also relates your problems to the gospel. How does the gospel address your depression? How does the gospel address your anxiety? How does the gospel address conflict in your daily life that may be leading to these emotional issues that you're facing? And so this is a very scripture-based approach. And one example of this is the CCEF, which is the Christian Counseling and Education Foundation. Two notable really speakers and authors from this organization are Ed Welch and David Pallinson. So I've actually referenced some of their articles before in this podcast. They just have excellent resources. Like, if this is going to deal more with the questions like, what is God doing in my suffering? Why does God allow this suffering? What is my depression or anxiety saying to me about my spiritual state? What does the words say about these things? So this approach, biblical counseling, is going to be more focused on your relationship to God in and through your sufferings, whether they be depression or anxiety. And so biblical counselors may ask questions like, hey, what is your depression or anxiety trying to tell you? Is there like a fear, or is there just a sense of guilt or shame that is keeping you from living in the freedom that God would have you? Or are there relationships in your life that are kind of like just conflict-ridden that maybe are producing this? And really, how does the truth of the gospel, one, your worth in Jesus, but then two, the hope that we have in him of looking forward to the day when he will return and wipe every tear away, how does this impact your present moment? You know, knowing that Jesus died for us and rose again, and knowing that we're loved by God, it doesn't always remove the feelings and the problems we have. And so we have to recognize that there's no just like magic solution for this. But what biblical counseling wants to do is center your hope and your foundation, even in your depression or anxiety, on the hope that is found in Jesus. And so I hope that you can see that there's a broad distinction. Now, there's some overlap. I mean, there's some men and women who have gone to seminary and then have also gone to get a counseling degree where they can do CBT or another type of therapy. So I just hope that you see that there's different types of counseling and therapy. When we say, should Christians go to counseling and therapy, that can mean a lot of things. And we want to clear up kind of what we mean when we talk about that. So when we ask, should Christians go to counseling or therapy, let's kind of tackle those two. One, should Christians go to a therapist that maybe isn't even a Christian, maybe isn't ever going to use scripture in your meetings, but is going to take more of a modern psychology approach of CBT? Now, I think wisdom asks us, one, to always filter what we are receiving through the lens of Scripture. So, like, if you're going to a counselor and they start, you know, giving you practices or prescriptions that really aren't biblically based, then that's probably a sign you should stay away. But we have to recognize that God has given just common grace through modern psychology and what works, what they've seen work in patients who deal with depression or anxiety. So, for instance, like if one of these counselors were to start prescribing you medicine, that's a decision that's based on, you know, your willingness, of course, but based on the research they have seen that medicine, often paired with CBT, is effective in reducing depressive symptoms and anxiety. So we have to recognize that there is some goodness in that God has given us common grace, whether it's through medicine or through this type of therapy, that can really help us. And so the question is, one, are you willing to do that? But if you do that, you have to recognize that you're not going to this counselor, the CBT counselor, to receive scriptural wisdom. You're going to this counselor to receive how to address thought patterns that may be negative. I find that CBT can be very helpful when it is paired with biblical counseling, because if you're addressing these negative thought patterns, then the biblical counselor is going to help you see how those thought patterns are addressed with gospel truth. And also, of course, I think it supports one another, because behavioral therapy, you know, getting exercise and getting good sleep and having a good diet, is really an outworking and an application of the scriptural truth that you would have in biblical counseling, that God has given us a body to steward, and we should treat that body in a way that honors Him and use our body to glorify Him. And so that comes with getting good sleep and getting good exercise and having a good diet. So one, I just want you to know, if you're considering going to a CBT therapist, those are just some factors that you would have to keep in mind. That one, they're not really going to use scripture. They're going to take more of a cognitive behavioral approach. So one, the factor is, do you feel as if that is the right therapy for you? And then two, I think the bigger question is, should we do that as Christians? So I think we could all agree that having the biblical counseling, that type of therapy, I mean, that there's really no problem with that. We're just going to someone whom we trust, who can speak into our lives the truths of God and is really a counselor to us, whether this is a pastor or a professional who is outside of our church in another type of ministry. I think we all recognize that that type of counseling is okay. But really, when we're talking about counseling and therapy, when we ask that question, we're talking about CBT or another type of secular, quote-unquote, type of therapy. So maybe let's ask this question. Let's get into kind of the second question. What are the factors that make us think we should not go to that type of counseling or therapy? And I think as Christians, we face a few thoughts that really inhibit us from maybe going, or we feel shame if we were to go. And the first one is this. We say, I shouldn't need counseling or therapy because I have the Holy Spirit, or I have the Word of God, I have Jesus, you know, all these things. And so implicit in this is that the Holy Spirit and the Word and Christ are sufficient for all of our troubles and problems. And I want to affirm that. Like, God has given us everything we need in Himself, in the Word, for encouragement, primarily for salvation, but also for knowing who we are, what truth is. And so we must recognize first and foremost that all truth comes from God, and primarily He's given us special revelation about who He is in His Word. But we have to also recognize, on the flip side, that the Bible doesn't address every single problem or question that we have. I think there are certainly foundations and hope, like we see David in the Psalms expressing his lament to God. And so the Bible teaches us how to relate to God in the midst of our sufferings. But it doesn't, you'll notice, it doesn't say exercise five times a week. It doesn't say, you know, remove all fatty foods from your diet. The Bible that's not what it was written for. The Bible was written to teach us how we can have a right relationship to God. And that's ultimately through Jesus Christ and through the work of His Spirit in our lives. And of course, the Bible gives us promises about who God is that we cling to in our depression or anxiety or just our problems in general. But really this thought that I shouldn't need counseling because I have the Holy Spirit, the Word, and Christ, I believe this ignores just the common graces that God has given us in life. So for instance, the hug of a mother or a dad, words of encouragement like, I'm proud of you, even just having a good meal with friends. I mean, those are common graces. As Scripture says, that God allows rain to fall on the good and the evil. And so we must recognize that therapy and counseling, if done rightly and if done out of biblical presuppositions, is a common grace that God has given us. And maybe God has gifted these people with just counseling to speak into our lives and help us see faulty thought patterns or behavioral patterns that can be modified, that will be in line with what God tells us elsewhere in Scripture. So I think that thought, I shouldn't need it because I have the Holy Spirit, it ignores the common graces that God gives us elsewhere. Like for instance, if you have a headache, most of you will take ibuprofen and you won't pray for 2 hours for God to take away your headache. You'll just take the ibuprofen and that will fix itself. So medicine is a common grace that God has given us. Now, it's not the crutch. We shouldn't rely on therapy or medicine to be really our savior in these things. Christ is our savior and he is our hope. But we must recognize that God has given us good therapeutic practices, good counselors, and medicine to help us in these problems. So I just think that first thought might ignore just what God has given us in creation to help us with our problems. The second one is a bit more personal, and I think that a lot of Christians struggle with this. It's this thought. I just don't have enough faith in my personal life. Like if I had more faith, God would heal me. And so if I were to go to counseling or therapy, that just shows my lack of faith and it shows I'm not depending on God that he can heal me. Again, I think that this is just a misconception. One, Christians should glory in their weakness. We know that in our weaknesses, Christ is strong. And just because we may deal with depressive thoughts or depressive tendencies or anxious thoughts or seasons of anxiety, this does not mean that we somehow fall out of favor with God, that we don't have enough faith. Rather, our faith is always rooted in who Jesus is. And therefore, in the midst of all our problems, in the midst of all our weakness, we can still trust that God is for us. But it doesn't mean that if you go to counseling or therapy that you don't have enough faith. Rather, I think it takes a lot of faith to reach out for others for help, and it destroys our pride. Really, this statement that I just don't have enough faith, therefore I shouldn't go to counseling, it's really rooted in the pride of self-dependency, that we want to appear to others that we have it all together. And if we fear that if someone were to find out that we were going to counseling or therapy, I think that says a lot about how we view ourselves. Do we view ourselves as this strong, stoic person who shouldn't have any problems? And do we present ourselves to others like that, especially in our churches? On the flip side, I do think it shows still some church culture that views mental health as really a sin problem, that it is, you don't have enough faith. And I've already made an episode on this, the myth of have more faith, where I address this concept, so I won't belabor the point. But again, I think that presupposition that if you are dealing with depression or anxiety, that means you don't have enough faith in God, or you know, you're not trusting God to heal you. I just think that is a faulty way of viewing it, because we have to recognize we live in a fallen world, and even Christians, men and women of great faith, can deal with depression and anxiety. So, not having enough faith, that's not a valid understanding of why you should not go to counseling or therapy. And then third, I've already briefly said it, but it's this: what would others think of me if they knew I was going to counseling or therapy? And now, I think, again, this relates more to shame and condemnation. For some reason, we feel ashamed by admitting that we have to go to counseling or therapy. And I think that this, again, is just rooted in an unwillingness, and really, it's just our culture, a rugged individualism that I got to pull myself up by my bootstraps and keep on going and appear as if I don't have any problems and as if I have it all together and I'm able to handle my problems. But can we just be honest? Like, we need other people. We need men and women who can speak into our lives and bring us back to the truth of Scripture, whether it's through biblical counseling or apply biblical principles through attacking negative thought patterns and behaviors in our lives. You know, going to counseling or therapy it shouldn't be shameful. It shouldn't mean that you feel like you're less than or on a subpar level, or as if you're not a good enough Christian because you have to deal with these problems through an outside source. Rather, I think that shows just your willingness to recognize that I need help, and that's okay, because just as we saw in the Scriptures earlier, God is our helper. And how often do we got to go to Him in prayer, in earnest cries like David, "Lord, hear my cry, hear my voice." We just got to get this idea out of our minds that we're self-dependent. And I think counseling and therapy could be a good way to help us release that tendency of self-dependency and to lean on others to help us. Okay, so those are just a few thoughts about that I think that most of us have when we ask this question, well, should I go to therapy or not? These thoughts of, hey, I have the Holy Spirit in me, therefore I don't need counseling. I just don't have enough faith, therefore it'd be shameful if I went. And then what would others think of me if they knew I was going? So I just want to give some practical encouragement of reasons why counseling could be helpful, but then also some wisdom to take into account when you're considering counseling or therapy. First, we've already mentioned it, but counseling, good counsel, is a gift of God's common grace to us. And I would go so far as to say even good psychological helps, and this includes medicine, is a gift of God's grace. So, but first on that part, that counseling is a gift of God, His common grace to us. We see in Proverbs this principle. Proverbs 13:10 says that by insolence or just ignorance comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom. And so those who have counsel in their lives often will take the best path that is based on wisdom, based on sound advice and counsel. And then Proverbs 19:20 says, "Listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future." So Proverbs, the book of wisdom, it highly lifts up having good counsel around you. And so if you're dealing with depression or anxiety and you don't know how to get out, or you don't know how to fix it, or it just seems like you'll never be rid of it, God may be leading you to seek counsel, to seek whether it's biblical counseling through your church or an organization, or just more psychological, psychiatric help through just CBT or another form of therapy. God may be leading you that way to help you see that He gives wisdom through counsel, and this is a good gift that we should accept. Second, I think that the body of Christ, just the concept of the body of Christ, should give us just ample reasons why we should seek help from other people. And I'm speaking more so to biblical counseling here, because as the body of Christ, we understand that we are brothers and sisters together in this, and that one's problem is the other's problem. And so if one is suffering, then the other is suffering. And we see this principle really carry out in Romans 12:15. Paul says to rejoice with those who rejoice, but mourn with those who mourn. And so because we are the body, when one member is suffering, we should step in as the body of Christ and help out that member. And I think this just comes through the gift of friendship, the gift of being in a local church, is that we get to really meet with other people where they are and receive that help. We see in Galatians 6:2 that Paul instructs us to carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, in this context particularly, he's speaking about if a brother were to stumble in sin, but I think an application or an extension of that truth is that when a brother is struggling, a brother or sister is just dealing maybe even with depression or anxiety or relational problems, that our responsibility as brothers and sisters in Christ is to carry each other's burdens and be there for that person. So I think even just the doctrine of the body of Christ speaks into why we should seek out counsel. Again, that one applies particularly to biblical counseling, that God has gifted men and women to speak into others' lives with wisdom and to apply scripture to their problems and to help them see their problems within the broader framework of the entire Bible and specifically grounded in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, so two more reasons. The third one is that we can't do it alone. And this just hinges on the other ones that I've been saying, but again, it's just trying to rid ourselves of this thinking that our problems are our problems and we shouldn't tell anybody about them and we should deal with them on our own. And if we can't, then we're just not trying hard enough. And so, of course, this relates more to the individualism that we've been talking about. But we can't do it alone. Therefore, we need other people. And we just have to recognize that. Fourth, and lastly, there's no shame in weakness. And as Christians, we should be willing to admit this, that we don't have it all together, nor will we ever have it all together, because only God is perfect and God is strong and He is our helper. And so we don't have to put on a mask. We don't have to put on a face and try to act like we have it all together. Now, of course, I don't think that we should stay in our problems, and I don't think that gives us an excuse to not fight depression or anxiety. But there should be no shame in admitting that we do deal with those things. And so counseling may be a good way for us to finally open up to somebody about that and honestly see God's grace work through the power of confession and the power of reaching out to others for help. So I hope that you can see, I think counseling, when done rightly, is a good thing. And it's a common grace that God has given to us, whether it's CBT counseling, more of a psychological and psychiatric approach, vis-a-vis biblical counseling and being based on scripture. I think both have their right place to help us with depression or anxiety. Okay, so just I'll impart just some lasting words of wisdom as we end this podcast. You know, how do you choose a counselor? When should you go? What kind should you look for? So just some wisdom. First, do your research. Know who you're going to and why. Like, you want to know before you embark on picking a counselor, what kind of counseling are you looking for? Are you looking for someone to answer those hard questions about God and suffering or your depression and anxiety and how it relates to your faith? You know, are you doubting your salvation? That may be a sign you need to go to a biblical counselor and receive just assurance and wisdom from God's word. You know, if you're having more problems like, man, I just can't seem to get over this thought pattern in my life, or, man, I wish I was going to exercise, or I wish I was eating more healthy, and I just need some help on that, I need some accountability, then CBT might be a good choice. But do your research, look up who you're going to, and I would suggest even like looking up Christian counselors, because there are those who are Christians, and they may not use scripture in every setting that you're in, because they deal with a lot of patients from a wide variety of backgrounds, but you can find a Christian CBT counselor. So just do your research before you go. Second, know what the goal and the end of your counseling is. What do I mean by that? One, know why you're going. Define what your problem is. And so when you go into that counseling office, you know what you're going to say and you know what you're going to be dealing with. Now, of course, there's other problems kind of are brought in, you'll see how other thoughts and patterns and even relationships affect the deeper problem that you first brought in. And so you may find that there are other problems that you never even know you are dealing with that kind of spring out of the first one you bring in. But know what the goal is. And then second, know what the end is. Counseling ideally shouldn't last forever, right? Because the goal is to get better. The goal is to not deal with those problems or problem emotions anymore, or at least know how to cope with them when they do occur. And so the goal is not to be there forever, and counselors would tell you that. Like, we want to see you better, and the goal is not to keep you there. So know what the goal and end is. And thirdly, this is just practical, but I believe it's so good. Do not neglect the body of Christ. If you're seeking counseling, do not replace that with the local body that God has given you. And if you don't have a local body, I would just encourage you to find a church, a gospel-centered church that preaches the word, that has built-in community throughout the week. And I pray that God would put men and women around you that could exhort you and encourage you throughout your daily walk with Christ. And, you know, community is hard to come by. It takes time, and often for those of us who deal with depression or anxiety, it just feels like community just doesn't work. Like nobody gets our problems. But I'm going to tell you, just like when you eat healthy, you don't see the effects until maybe the day after. So it is with biblical community. You need brothers and sisters in Christ to help you. You know, even just by going over to their house for dinner one night, you might never see how that affects your depression or anxiety until well after you've been doing it. So I just encourage you, you need the body of Christ. If you start going to counseling, or if you start, going to CBT or whatever it is, do not neglect what God has put around you in the context of a local church. Godly friends are just a common grace too that God gives us each other. And we should apply all these principles to our friendships as well. We shouldn't be afraid to admit our weaknesses and ask for help, whether that's getting a coffee with a brother or sister in Christ and just kind of explaining, and can you pray for me in this area? I've really been struggling here. Or even just asking them to help keep you accountable for maybe things you're trying to change. So I hope this has been just a helpful, practical episode. Why should I go to counseling or therapy, or should I go as a Christian? And I hope that you'll see that when it's done well, counseling, whether it's biblical or a CBT approach, can really help us. And in the next episode, I'll actually spend some time just talking through some of my experiences in counseling. I've been to several different types and people. And so I hope that even by that, you'll see that I'm right here with you in considering this question. Well, of course, as I said earlier, please do not take this as a prescription for you to go. That's not what I'm here for, and I'm just saying that out loud. But just take this as things to think through, and through prayer and through talking with those in your immediate circle, your family or whoever, this is your decision. I'm not telling you one thing or the other, so just please hear that. This is something for you to pray over and just consider in light of what we've discussed. So, hey, I hope that you have enjoyed this podcast. If you would, leave a rating or just follow and maybe share the episode with other people. And I just pray that as you consider this, that God will give you wisdom and good counsel through prayer and through His Word. God bless.